So the Giants go into Buffalo and shuffle the Bills. Final score 24-10. Tom Coughlin's Big Blue even their record at 2-2. They go into a very tough place, Ralph Wilson Stadium, to win, and that's just what they did. How you doing, everyone? I'm Russ Salzberg. Welcome once again to Giants Post Game Live here on My Nine. My colleagues joining me today, Roman Oben, Sean O'Hara, and Imani Toomer. And guys, listen, there was no meltdown today. This was their best all-around football game both halves this season.
Well, you're absolutely right, Russ. And you talk about what's been the conversation this first quarter of this season. They did well last week against Washington, obviously, but it was about eliminating the conversation about how they played in the fourth quarter. We saw the blundles against Dallas and Atlanta. But I like the way this team finished the game. It was a complete 60-minute football game, fast, physical. You know what you're dealing with on the other side with Rex Ryan's team. And I'm glad the Giants prevailed full 60 minutes.
Yeah, I like the way they finished. I didn't like the interception by Eli down there almost in the end zone. Feel free to run the ball, Ben McAdoo. You know, you got the lead. Just go ahead and grease it. But I really, really was impressed with the offensive line because coming into this game, that was my biggest concern was how are they going to handle the one-on-one matchups? Eric Flowers been battling an ankle. He came back in the game, and then he got hurt again, so they had to shuffle Pugh and then go back to that. So I thought they handled the one-on-one pass protections. You know, there was a couple delay of games, but I thought overall they handled that Rex Ryan amoeba-like defense where guys are flying everywhere, and I thought they handled that with some poise. They did a good job keeping Eli clean.
I think this was the most complete offensive performance by Ben McAdoo, the offensive coordinator. The fact that he knows that he was going up against a defensive front that can put up a lot of pressure, but through scheme and smarts, he outsmarted the Buffalo Bills defensive line. I think that this was the best I've seen. And if we see more offensive performances, offensive game plans like this, I'm on the road.
He got creative, too.
In a very tough place to play is Buffalo.
Oh, no question.
You know, for a visiting team, one of the toughest. Yeah. But I got to tell you, you talk about the play of the offensive line, which everybody was concerned. How about kudos to the defense, what they've done this week?
Yeah, the defense was phenomenal. When you think about what the Giants were faced with, back-to-back weeks, they're facing the number one rushing offense in the NFL. Last week on Thursday Night Football was the Redskins. They came in averaging 172 yards rushing per game. This week it's the Buffalo Bills. They were averaging 150 yards rushing per game. They were both number one. And kudos to Steve Spagnuolo because he's managed to do it with a lot of different moving parts. And this defense, they played really hard. They shut the Bills out in the red zone a couple times. And they went for it on fourth down, too, got the stop, took points off the board, literally.
Yeah, Kerry Wynn has really showed up. I mean, he's a guy that nobody knew before the season. Now, all of a sudden, you know, he's leading the team in tackles all over the field, hustle, effort plays. Those are the types of things that you can build on. Now, you know, when Steve Spagnuolo watches the film, he could say, look, this is the effort that we're looking for. Kerry Wynn is the example, and I think that's a good step forward for this team going into the second quarter of the football season.
And when you're putting guys in a position to succeed that Spagnuolo is doing, Devin Kennard running down a tight end down the field, showing the athletic ability, the interception that he made. You look at Prince at the end of the game, him and Collins stripping the ball. I mean, you're seeing guys make play after play after play. When they believe in each other, they believe in what they're doing, they believe in the defensive coach that's putting them in that position, that's when you see those big plays, especially in the fourth quarter when you need those big plays to come through.
And it was getting chippy in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
And they held their composure very well.
The penalties. I mean, we saw. I mean, how many times have we seen
15 penalties over 100 yards?
I mean, we've seen Rex Ryan coach defense. This is what happens when you're up against them, and it's something that I'm sure Coach Tom Coughlin told them, don't go for the bait.
Yeah.
You know, because that's what's going to happen. As soon as you get up on, they're going to try to bait you into these penalties. Good poise by the Giants.
Well, I'll tell you what, 24-10. All of a sudden, their record is 2-2. Things are looking a lot better than they were just a few weeks ago. We've got a lot more coming up. Head coach Tom Coughlin, Eli Manning, other player reaction. But right now, let's take care of a little business. We're talking about our favorite place, Adorama. You want to make sure, folks, you go to Adorama.com/Giants to win yourself a Yamaha musical prize pack, including a portable keyboard and acoustic guitar, plus accessories. Adorama, the official electronics retailer of the Giants. Stay right where you are. You're coming back to Giants Post Game Live here on My Nine.
defense did an outstanding special teams. We didn't get the big break on field position today, but we hung in there. We did our job on special teams as well. We covered. We eventually covered well. Our punter did an outstanding job. Our kicker came back, and that last kickoff, he kicked it out of the end zone. So I was pleased with that. But to go on the road and the win against a very the atmosphere out there, the environment was super. I mean, it was an electric environment prior to the game. It was an exciting time, a great place to be, and just thankful we won.
Tom, can you talk about the significance of the Rashad touchdown and what you saw there, just kind of the way the offense is struggling?
It's a great, great play. I mean, they blitzed. He broke it on a hot. He broke one tackle. He broke another tackle. He had a guy hit him in the back, and he still straightened up and ran in the end zone, and that was the play that kind of gave us the opportunity right there to take a deep breath because, you know, we hit the screen, we get the call for being downfield. You know, and it was upsetting to us. Obviously, we crossed the midfield mark, and who knows there, but that's the way it goes. But that play was, in the second half offensively, the key play that put us in position, and then we got the two-point conversion as well. So I was glad to see that happen. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, no question there, because there was plenty of time. There was time left to do whatever they needed to do. So I wasn't pleased with us not getting a first down there. But we, you know, you're up back against your wall. You're kind of careful what you're doing there. But no question about it. That was a tremendous series right there.
Is that kind of symbolic of your defense? I mean, about six or seven different guys made touchdown-saving plays on that.
Incredible. Yeah. And guys played hard. I mean, we do play hard. And then people like Kerry Wynn flew around and just had a great game, I thought. And so I'm excited to see the tape. But no doubt, lots of different people contributing. You know, we talk all the time about team. That's what we got today was team.
Tom, so many people talk about their front and the difficulty to run against them. You obviously went in thinking you could run.
Yeah.
The way you went after.
Well, we did. We knew we had to run. And for a while there, we had some very good runs. And then for a while we didn't. So, but, you know, let's face it, Eli in the first half directed pretty much everything. And our offensive line held up. We got the ball out of our hand quickly. And he was able to continue to direct traffic all the way and did an outstanding job of that.
In the first three games, you kind of really weren't able to put teams away. How did it feel to finally be able to kind of give them a knockout?
I wouldn't go ahead and say we put this one away either. So that wouldn't be my quote. But, we got the two-touchdown margin, and that certainly helped. But the interception took the wind out of my sail, to be honest with you, because, you know, I told Ben, let's drive the ball down and score. I wanted to score. It's third and whatever from the goal line. You know, we don't like it, throw it away, whatever. But they had been driving hard on the slants, and we knew it. Eli knew it as well. Ruben had done an outstanding job with the slant routes, and he let it go. It's unfortunate that happened, but again, that's my responsibility.
What do you say about the fact that your team fighting back to 2-2 after the way the season started? What's that significance?
Well, it shows we have grit. You know, we are the group. I thought, to be honest with you, that we didn't practice as well as I wanted early in the week, and at the end of the week, we did. So I told them that before the game started. And, you know, our meetings have been very good. They've done a great job in the jog-throughs. They've done all that for us. But they're battlers, and be honest with you, the coaches are doing an outstanding job. Our staff, I'm proud of the way they're putting these plans together. And, you know, it's not the sideline is not always as smooth as you'd like it to be, but that's football. There's a lot going on out there. Super. Great play. On a wheel route, the same route that ended, he got beat on it later on. But that was great and stayed in bounds as well. Always. Win a game. Get started. You know, do it. The process is to work hard during the week, have a great preparation executed on the weekend. That never stops. And if we're 0-2, fight. Keep fighting. You know, that's what we do. That's what the thing is all about.
Tom, they clearly wanted to run the ball with Williams right away. Do you think you established something right away that you run the ball too
long? I thought we did a good job with it. I don't know what the numbers are. And he had a couple runs. You know, he's a good player. He had a couple runs. But we still did a good job overall. Yeah, he, well, you know, I worked him out before the game just to see where he was at. And, you know, the kid's a tough kid now. Every time he tells me, I ask him, how you doing? Great. I'm good. Good. He's always good. And the key thing is he, on the first play of the game, he gets hurt the ankle again, came out. Before you know it, he's back in. So, you know, I respect the heck out of that. Hustle makes up for a lot of errors. Hustle makes up for a lot of errors. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
All right. A happy head coach Tom Coughlin, and for good reason, because I thought, you know, speaking to him earlier in the week and today, the game plan went kind of according to what he wanted to see happen on both sides of the ball. But, you know, the running game, you look at guys, 92 yards, 28 attempts. The numbers don't knock you over, but I thought they had some very, very good hard yards, tough yards from Jennings, Vereen, and Williams, all three.
I thought Williams actually carried the ball the best, even though, you know, because he got more yards after contact than the others. And I think Rashad Jennings had a big game as well. I mean, it was a real group effort running the football. And I think Ben McAdoo even got creative getting these guys out of the backfield and getting them extended handoffs, you know, these arrow routes to the sidelines, these blitz beaters that ended up being, I think, the play of the game when Rashad Jennings had that 50-yard touchdown.
Yeah, I think for Andre Williams, he can't get enough carries, and he's a young running back. So he needs to see the runs. He needs to kind of read how the O-line is blocking them. But I thought they got downhill. The running backs got north-south right now. You didn't see negative runs, which was huge because, again, when you're playing this Buffalo Bills defense, you don't want to be in third and long. And granted, the Giants didn't do great on third down, but I thought the run game was there. And I thought Eli did a really good job of getting Dwayne Harris involved. We knew Ruben Randall was going to get some attention. He had a big week last week. But getting Dwayne Harris involved gave somebody for the Bills to have to account for other than Odell and other than Ruben.
Yeah, and you look at the running game again. I said this last week. When you're only getting, you know, 9 carries, 11 carries, 5 carries, you're not going to get enough of that flow. Like guys like Andre Williams, these big power backs, they need to be fed. They need more carries. As an offensive lineman, you wanted to run the ball, yeah. Second and long. You wanted to keep running because you knew those guys would eventually get hungry and start to make those big runs. So the running game is coming. It's productive. 3.3 yards a carry is not great, but it's great on the road against this Rex Ryan's defense. And going back to Tom Coughlin's comments, as a coach, you're only as good as what the guys implement on Sunday. And he always says that practice are good, things are good during the week. But as a coach, you have to hold your breath because you say, are these kids going to go up there and perform? And you saw it. When they lose, Coughlin takes all the responsibility. But when they win, he's so complimentary about how all the guys did individually. And that's a mark of a good coach and a guy that knows what it takes to get these guys in a position to prepare to win. And you guys obviously both played for him.
Well, game plan went according to plans today. Tom Coughlin comes away again with his second win of the season, 24-10 the final at Ralph Wilson Stadium in Buffalo, a very, very tough place for a team to go in and play. Giants did well today. All right, we got a lot more coming up. Eli Manning will be talking along with other player reactions, so stay right where you are. You're watching Giants Post Game Live here on My Night. Laura, you're looking at some fans outside of Ralph Wilson Stadium. I don't know if they're happy, at least the ones wearing the Bills uniforms. I don't think they're very happy. I know if Giant fans made the trip, they certainly are. But what do you say we now go back to Ralph Wilson Stadium, catch up with Paul Dottino, who caught up with a couple of heroes from today coming off the field.
Carry a monster game for you, and I know the Giants wish you probably had more sacks, but boy, you guys gave Taylor a hard time. What was the key?
The key, man, was just this repetition all practice, making sure we collapse the pocket and make it defensive inside.
You know, so much was said about their power running game, and of course, like I said, their scrambling quarterback. The game plan by Spags, what was it in a thumbnail that allowed you guys to contain them?
Man, it's just the same thing we do. You know, he preaches, you know, since OTAs, you know, you set the edge, build a wall, and track the hip. And, you know, we've been buying in, and we've been having success.
Now, of course, in the second half, number of chances to put it away. The offense was unable to do that, and then the defense had to come up big until Jennings scored the touchdown. How tiring was it in the second half to make sure you held the lead?
I mean, we got each other's backs, you know. Defense got offensive back, offense got defensive back, and special teams do their thing, too. So we one team, one family, so we just stick together, and when we stick together, this happens.
Kerry Wynn, thanks for your time.
Thank you.
Well, it took a big play by Rashad Jennings with about 7.5 minutes left. I mean, I got to tell you, your ferocity on that play, you were not going to be denied, were you?
It was third down and short. That was a must-stay-on-the-field play. Eli put us in the best position and, came up with a play. And that was critical. It was a big, big win for this team, boosting up the energy on the sideline. So we got to go home. Understand that it was a good team that we beat, watch the film, find ways to get better for next week.
How difficult was it to do things against this defense? We all talked about it. Mentally, they play a lot of games with you.
They do. Rex got a plethora of blitzes, formations, ways to confuse an offense. And I think for the most part, we handled our ground. We was able to play our football and, stay on the pedal. But, you know, it's some little things we got to clean up. Long season. We finished first quarter 2-2.
That's one for the highlight film. Rashad Jennings, thanks for your time.
Appreciate it.
Back to you guys.
All right, Paul, thank you very much. Again, we were talking about, Paul was one of the rushing heroes from today, Rashad Jennings. You know, again, the numbers don't jump off the page at you. Rashad had 9 carries for 38 yards. Andre Williams, as you said, Imani, running very tough, 11 for 35. And Shane Vereen, 5 for 21. Just seemed to me that because there was that running game up the gut, it was just opening things up for Eli.
Yeah, and I think as an offensive lineman, Sean, as you know this, when no matter who's in the game, the same plays are still going to be called. And you don't want to be predictable as an offense to say when you bring in this type of back, oh, here comes a screen or here comes a sweep or a toss, or you bring in the scat back, here comes a draw or some type of isolation play to get a guy out in space. All the same players are called, and it's really a testament to the guys up front that are blocking, that are creating these opportunities. Again, the numbers aren't flashy or sexy in terms of production. And obviously, you'd love to see a 50-yard run that would hike that average up a little bit. But again, it just shows a consistency that no matter who's in, you're getting some type of productivity on the ground.
You know, I think the success that the Giants had in the run game, it would have showed up more in the numbers, Russ, if they would have had more carries. And I thought there were too many times, and now I might be nitpicking right here, but on 1st and 10, they would run the ball, get 8 or 9 yards. And then throw the ball on 2nd and 1, 2nd and 2, 3rd and 1, 3rd and 2. And in those instances, the Giants have to figure out, hey, look, we're running the ball really well. It's okay to run the ball 3 or 4 times in a row. It's okay. Nobody's going to fire you for that. So go ahead and let them pound, let them grind out, and those numbers would be a lot better. Now, I think Rashad Jennings showed in the second half, though, that he's a strong runner, yeah. And he mushed that defender on that screen. It was great to see. Yeah. I mean, when you call a screenplay, a lot of times they're feast or famine. It's either a tackle for no gain, and he was able to break that tackle, and then mush the guy on the sideline. That certainly sparked the entire sideline.
Hey, what you said is absolutely right, Sean. They did not get enough carries because, look, if you look down, Rashad Jennings had 4.2 yards a carry, which is good in the NFL. Andre Williams had 3.2. Those are the kind of numbers that you have to get. But you got to understand, when you're going against the Buffalo Bills defense, you're not just going to want to pound it. You got to be very creative. And I think that's what Ben McAdoo did today in just spreading out the entire offense to where, you know, they were guessing on defense what was going to happen, what was going to come, a run or the pass.
Well, again, Imani Toomer, Sean O'Hara, Roman Oben, I'm Russ Salzberg. You're watching Giants Post Game Live here on My9. Folks, we've got Eli Manning coming up and much more, so stay right where you are. We're coming back.
right, welcome back, everybody. You've been looking outside of Ralph Wolfson Stadium today, where once again your final score was Giants 24-10 over the Bills. Giants even their record to 2-2. What do you say we now go back to Buffalo, catch up with Paul Dottino and Howard Cross, guys?
Well, thank you so much, Russ. And Howard, you know, Eric Flowers came into this game with a sprained ankle, played the first play, had to come limping off the field, then went back in. A gutsy performance by a real throwback of a lineman.
Hey, definitely a throwback of a lineman. Probably one of my favorite kind of players. This guy asked the coach to go back in the game. He wanted to play. They were saying before the game, maybe he wouldn't even be out there. And he's like, hey, I want to play. Not only did he play, he played well.
I think also one thing that we have to tell you folks that we can see on the field, because Howard and I are on the sidelines, is that in the third quarter, when things were a little slumbering there for the Giants, Eli Manning showed some big-time leadership skills, Howard.
The leadership skills, but he definitely showed a lot of emotion, something we don't see a lot. You know, he went up and down the sideline, urging his players on, guiding to some guys, talking to them, screaming at them. I kind of like that. You know, you don't see that kind of thing out of Eli. That's the first time you see him really animated on the sideline. That was really cool. And they responded great.
Yeah, you don't see that on the television cameras. All right, let's flip it to defense for a second. The Giants held Buffalo to 55 yards rushing, and I believe it was something like 3 of 15 or 3 of 16 on third down. The defense wasn't spectacular, but, boy, they were pretty good.
I would go against that. I'm going to say the defense was spectacular. When you go against one of the top rushing teams, they shut them down. They stopped them everywhere on the field. And on top of that, they did a great job tackling after the ball was caught. They caused turnovers on their own out of just pure hustle. But that's a trademark of Spags defense. They're doing a great job. Now, again, pressure on the quarterback, we're going to call for it. But I'm going to tell you what, they're going to get there every time.
Now, finally, we talked during the week about how Spags knew a lot about Tyrod Taylor because he was a quarterback in Baltimore when Spags was there. From what you could see of what Spags was calling out schematically, did it look to you, as it did to me, that Taylor was a bit confused?
I don't know about confused. Taylor's, you know, historically, after watching tape on him all week long, he's basically a one-look guy, and after he doesn't get that one look, he's in trouble. So, you know, they took away his first look, and all of a sudden, he's out there scrambling around looking what to do. They did a great job. That Spags sort of did a good job dialing that up.
Howard, it all adds up to a Giants win. Good stuff.
Every time.
Hey, let's go to Eli Manning. He's standing by at the podium.
How big was that play by Rashad there in the fourth quarter?
Yeah, that was a huge play by Rashad. Great effort, and, you know, we needed it. Team needed it. You know, offensively, we hadn't done, you know, really anything in the second half. Had some, you know, weird penalties, and they've done a great job. And sure enough, you know, got a few first downs on that drive. We got to a third down, and they played man coverage, and we were able to hit Rashad on a little rail, breaking a tackle just to get the first down, and then breaking a couple other tackles, getting blocks downfield, get the touchdown. Big play in the game right there. Yeah, I mean, I think you know, coach challenged us. That was a big challenge after the first two games where we had leads going into the fourth quarter and lost them and weren't able to come back and you know we weren't playing as well in the fourth quarter. So he challenged us that hey we got to elevate our level of play in the fourth quarter and you know I think we've done that these last 2 weeks and there's a difference in you know winning games and losing. You got to you know we had a good first half. We got to find ways to you know we had a little lull there in the third quarter, but. Hey, we found ways to you know make it happen, and we needed some plays. We needed some plays in the fourth quarter, late in the game, and we were able to get to them.
Think about your defense, especially in those goal line stands.
Yeah, a couple big stands by them. Obviously, you know, in the third and fourth quarter, holding them to a field goal one time, and then they miss it, and then next time getting down there at the 1 yard line, stopping them. So. You know, on down. So a couple great stands and turnovers and some big plays by the defense all day. They're playing good football right now.
A little on the Rashad play. When you flip it over there, were you hoping for a first down? And then you're watching the play unfold?
Yeah, just hoping for a first down. I didn't throw a great ball, and you know, so just hoping he'd be able to catch it and make that first guy miss get the first down. And sure enough, he you know goes down the sideline and big you know big play for us. Not happy about the interception. Yeah, you know, just the guy made a play. You know, it's tough. He drove on it. Tough to see when like I was throwing a double coverage. It's, you know, usually throwing slants pretty safe, but he drove on it. We've thrown a lot of them. I guess I should have you know, tough situation.
I understand the math. Can you explain why right now 2-2 is that much better than 1-3?
Well, you know, I think you just feel like you're back in the mix, and you know, just winning two games in a row. You know, with everything going on in the division, I don't know who's. You know, I know that we had some divisional games being played right now. I think Washington, Philly, and Washington beat Philly. So, you know, a division. You know, Dallas is going through some stuff. So, you know, we're kind of right back in the mix, and we got a lot of football. And but that's exciting to feel like we're not 1-3. All of a sudden, you're fighting uphill. But you know, we still got to fight. We still got to climb. But feel like we're right in the mix.
All right, nice job by Eli Manning today. And by the way, congratulations to Eli with his 101st win, including playoffs ties. Phil Simms, 100 wins, most in the Giants franchise history.
Yeah, very impressive. Very impressive. Good day for Eli and obviously his career and all the wins in this organization. What that means, but in terms of X's and O's, I think winning comes in different forms, and in terms of what was done today and what's needed to be done to win on the road is obviously different, but you're building confidence. You're seeing the running game evolve. You're seeing different guys making plays, and I think that's what's going to lead to more and more productivity as they get into the meat of the season starting next week.
This team is still figuring out how to win games, and the finish aspect, that's been the theme for the last couple of weeks, but I really am impressed with how Eli has been throwing the football. I think this is the best that I've seen Eli. His command, his arm looks live. He's got great velocity, and I think that it's showing up. I mean, he threw his first interception of the season today. But when you look at what he's doing with his offense and with these receivers, he's got complete control of all of his throws. And I think that this is a very dangerous quarterback to have, and he could get Victor Cruz back, hopefully. That's just going to be another added weapon for him. My only concern with this is, he threw to Odell Beckham 12 times, only 5 completions. So there were some miscommunications there to him. I know you probably saw it too. A couple of them looked like they were supposed to be back shoulder throws, and he and Odell were not on the same page. That's something that they need to iron out.
Definitely. Whenever there's miscommunications, you never want to have those, because you never know when that miscommunication is going to be the play that they have to hook up on. But one of the things I'm looking at Eli's game, and you look at the stat sheet, he's 3 touchdowns, 1 interception. But that's not really the effect that he has on this team. Yeah, Rashad Jennings said earlier how Eli is putting them in the right play all the time. And for the fact that he's going to put them in the right play, it's just more than just what shows up on the stat sheet. He is throwing the ball well. He is playing well. But he's actually, him and Ben McAdoo are starting to come together, starting to be a melding of the minds, and you're starting to see the creativity of this offense really take off.
You know, Tim, it's a good point, because Eli, and even when we played with him, he is so smart. And sometimes coaches ask Eli to do too much. And sometimes you just have to say, you know what, we're not going to find the perfect play. We're just going to go up and run it. Because one of the things that happens when you try to get the perfect play every time, you get delay of games. And that's one of the things that we keep seeing week in and week out. Mm-hmm. This Giants offense is getting to the line. There's delay of games. They're trying to – it's a hurry up to snap the ball. And it's because Eli has changed the play from a run to a pass or changed the protection. And sometimes you don't have to have the perfect play. You just got to run.
All right, well, Eli Manning, certainly the leader of this team. We've got more coming up, folks. Weston Richburg coming up in our next segment. But right now, let's take care of a little business. Guests of our post-game show receive a gift certificate to Ben & Jack's Steakhouse, located on 5th Avenue at 28th Street in Manhattan. Talking about from their celebrated porterhouse to the finest seafood, Ben & Jack's will surpass your expectations of a steakhouse. Once again, you're watching the Giants post-game live here on My Night. Welcome back to Giants Postgame Live, folks, here on My Nine from the studios here. What do you say we go back to Ralph Wilson Stadium in Buffalo? Paul Dottino caught up with Weston Richburg.
Well, Weston, there's no question that the Bills' defensive front's probably one of the toughest in the league, but you guys did what you had to do to keep the ball moving and obviously won the ball game.
Yeah, we did some good things, especially first half. I thought we had some good runs. Kind of had a little time there in the second half where things didn't go our way, but I'm proud of how we came back, you know, got a score with Rashad's big touchdown there. It was good.
Now, even though you didn't move the ball up and down the field, again, you were efficient and did what you had to do. You and Pugh had told me during the week this may be the toughest mental game you're going to have to play. So how rough was it? How many games were they playing up there?
And it was a total team effort. We were able to, you know, see personnel from the sidelines relayed in to us, you know, make sure everybody was on the same page. Had a couple where we weren't on the same page, but most of the time everything was pretty good for us.
And then finally, in terms of the physicality of this game, it looked like it was one of those real black and blue kind of games. A good game to get you guys kind of into the mix.
Yeah, very physical. You know, we knew that coming in. They're a very physical team. You know, I think every Rex Ryan team is very physical. So we knew we had to, you know, buckle up and come at it.
2-2 feels good.
Very good. Yes, sir.
Weston Richburg, thanks for your time.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Okay, guys, let's go back to you.
All right, guys. Certainly 2-2 does feel good. I spoke with Weston I think it was Thursday, and the one thing that I got from him and all the players, as much as everybody feels bad about the situation with Victor Cruz, you know, him having a setback, to a man, it was like a real, like they're rallying around that. To a man, everybody said, it's terrible, we feel bad for him, but got to go, we got to win. It was like a rallying point.
Yeah, I think that they all felt bad for Victor, and they certainly want him out there. I just got to give a shout-out. We got an O-lineman get the post-game interview with Paul Dottino. That's huge. I mean, for Weston Richburg right now, this is his second year. He got the post-game interview. He's got to get a game ball. I don't think people realize how hard it is as a center to go on the road, to deal with that crowd noise. You've got your head between your legs, and you've got defensive guys flying up all over. You've got to count on your guard to your right and your guard to your left to tell you who's where. You can't hear Eli. He's changing the play. You have no idea. Is it still a run? Is it a pass? Weston Richburg, good job, pal.
Wait, Sean, spoken like a true center. Did you guys give fines for talking to the media too much when you were playing?
No. Maybe. I was happy to pay that fine. Yeah, we just wouldn't let Soibert talk.
I mean, as an offensive tackle, I mean, how many times have we seen on the road where a guy starts rocking and leaning because of the crowd noise and he's getting those 5-yard penalties? But, I mean, kudos to Richburg. Flowers coming back, playing today.
Yeah.
The way they've shuffled that line around the last few weeks because of the injuries, the guys have still played well. And, again, this isn't about guys who aren't there, but it's the guys who are there that are playing together as a team, buying into what the coaches are selling and putting together that game plan that, as we talked about with Spags and then McAdoo offensively, putting that game plan together so the guys are in the best position possible to succeed, knowing that it's not easy. You still have to go out there and execute.
Speaking about penalties, you mentioned penalties. How about all the penalties at the Buffalo Bills today?
Thank you very much.
Well, you know, Rex Ryan said he wanted to build a bully, but there are rules out there. You got to follow the rules. The bullying without being in the confines of the sport, it just gives up 100 and some yards. And if you have a team that's even, you give up 100 yards, you're not really helping.
I mean,
yourself.
north of 15 penalties.
Seventeen penalties, 135 yards,
and they were timely penalties too.
Yeah.
There were a couple more third down in the first half. They extended the drive and then. The penalty that took the field goal off. I mean, the Giants kicked the field goal. There's a penalty for lining up on the center. I mean, that's special teams 1-on-1. You can't line up on a center in any field goal or PAT. So I don't even know.
That's a point of emphasis too. I
mean, discipline.
And usually the referee comes over and says it. So it's just
usually the referee will tap the guy on the butt to get him away from the center, just to protect the snapper.
Sean, before we go to a break, you want to give another shout out to Weston?
Good job, big man.
Good job, Weston.
Good job, Richburg.
Boom, all line.
You're watching Giants post game. Live here on My Nine. We've got more coming up, so please stay right where you are. All right, welcome back once again to Giants Post Game Live here on My Nine from the studios here at the Giants training facility. What do you say we now go back to Buffalo, catch up with Paul Dottino, who caught up with Dwayne Harris.
Dwayne, five catches for a team-high 51 receiving yards today. And so the talk was when Victor Cruz was unable to play this week, again, the receivers were going to have to step up. Did you know your number was going to be called so often and you'd be able to produce?
No, you know, definitely this offense, you know. This is definitely a wide open offense. You know, anybody can get the ball at any given time. You see how many different receivers touch the ball today. So, you know, that's just the offense we play in.
You certainly took a bunch of big hits today. I mean, I felt them on the sidelines. How you coming through it? And I guess a win is always going to make you feel better.
I'm a little sore, definitely, you know, just because all the hitting and running to people. But I think I'll be all right come I'm practicing on Wednesday. I'd be okay. I'd be good.
Could you tell the fans how difficult it was to hear? Because when the Bills are trying to gain their momentum, this stadium absolutely rocks. I don't know what it's like if you guys could even hear. I know I can't hear on the sideline.
For us, it really wasn't that difficult. We do a lot of, like, signals. So,
sure.
You know, we don't really hear what's going on anyway. But probably you got to talk to the offensive line or the running backs or the quarterback. So they do a lot of communication with verbal communication. You know, all ours is mostly signs, so we're in the receiver, so it really wasn't that difficult for us.
And then finally, I want to ask you something about Howard Crossan. I noticed on the sideline early in the third quarter, Eli Manning got very animated, very excited, very emotional, trying to spark this offense on where it seemed like you guys were in a little bit of a slumber. How much did that affect you guys? Did you recognize it? What does that say about Eli?
He's our offensive leader, you know. When it's time to step up, you know, Eli definitely brings the team along with him. You know, that's big. It was big for us. It was big for the momentum for our team. You know, and I tip a hat for him because, you know, when everybody's rallying behind him, all of us is definitely going to produce.
One of the rest of the receivers, Rashad Jennings, wants more catches.
He'll get them if he keep playing like that.
Dwayne Harris, thanks for your time.
No problem. Thank you.
Okay, guys, back to you.
All right, Paul, thank you very much. That was Dwayne Harris, one of five receivers catching balls from Eli Manning today. What do you say we take a look at the board, guys, and just see how it was distributed? Really, I mean, they've all, you know, Odell, five catches, Reuben, three, Harris, five. You also had Donnell with five. You know, other than what you said, you brought out a good point before, Sean, there were 12 targets for Odell Beckham Jr., and he only caught five. But other than that, that was a pretty good distribution for everybody.
Yeah, they were spreading the ball around, and you know, that's not even factoring in Rashad Jennings because he had a big catch on the screen pass. But, you know, I think it's just it's very indicative of Eli Manning and the way that he's able to spread the ball around and get all those receivers involved in the offense. And Tom, I know you caught balls from Eli and you played with him. And, you know, when he's feeling it, when he's on fire, he's pretty accurate.
Oh, yeah, no question. When he is on fire and when he is zoned in like he was today, you know that there's going to be, you know, something special is going to happen. And I think Dwayne Harris was really the recipient today. This is a guy that, you know, needed to step up. They need that second, the third receiver to really take pressure off Odell Beckham. You can't, obviously, they tried to throw him the ball a lot today. It didn't always work out because defense's game plan to stop him. And so you're going to have other guys take advantage of those opportunities, those choice looks with the one-on-one matchups. And Dwayne Harris did it today. Even Reuben Randall had some big plays as well. So all those things really help Odell Beckham in the back end because he's going to get less attention because people are going to have to focus in on the entire team, not just him.
Yeah, and when I look at the premise of this offense, you know, just fundamentally, this is a West Coast offense. All the routes and everything happens within 25 yards of the line of scrimmage. And that prevents you from being predictable. And it makes the defense cover everything. So you will see running backs, tight ends consistently get those kind of numbers. Then it opens it up for the receivers to get their numbers. So when you look at the end of the season, you'll see, you know, 7-8 guys deep getting at least probably 30 catches. But as long as you're playing winning football and you're putting everyone in position to succeed, everyone ends up being fed. Everyone gets – I'm sure Odell Beckham will get his 80 catches. I'm sure all that happened. But you're winning in the process. You're controlling the clock. You're running the ball efficiently. And then hopefully defense is helping you, which they have been with the turnovers and creating opportunities for the offense as well. So it's good to see all that happening. And when that's when you see the uncharacteristic guys like a Dwayne Harris guys get those kind of opportunities.
One play we're not talking about because it was an out-of-bounds play. Otherwise, we'd be talking about it all day and night, beyond every highlight reel. Odell Beckham once again with the catch out of bounds, another one-hander. I don't know. He practices it all the time, so it's not a fluke anymore.
Well, he dropped the touchdown, but you're like, well, he should have done it with one hand.
But he is the real deal. Anyway, we've got JT Thomas coming up in our next segment with Paul Dottino. So, again, stay right where you are. 24-10 Giants, the final in Buffalo. You're watching Giants Post Game Live here on My Nine. Once again, welcome back, folks, the Giants post-game live here on My Nine. And once again, what do you say we go back to Buffalo? Paul Dottino, who caught up with JT Thomas. Paul?
Well, JT, at the beginning of the fourth quarter, there was an outstanding goal line stand by this defense. Each play was made by a different Giant defender. You and DRC coming up big on the fourth down one. Tell me about that series and specifically about the fourth down play.
Well, I'll tell you what, it says a lot about our defense. We have a really resilient group. I took some effort from every guy on the field to be able to make that goal line stand, one play after another. And that was really, to me, was a really turning point for our defense in the game to say, you know what, we're going to finish this game. You know, we're going to close this game out. We're going to win it for our offense. We were playing for each other out there today, and I think you could tell by that goal line stand today.
Given the fact that you had the fourth quarter leads that had been blown earlier in the season, how significant was that to actually put the hammer down there?
Oh, man, it really does a lot for our defense. I can tell you what, the guys were a little upset last week not being able to seal that victory as nice as we would have liked to in Washington. We could have finished that game, and that could have been a solid game for us. But this Sunday, we wanted to come out and for sure, if anything, finish. When we had an opportunity to step, I want to say, when we have an opportunity to make plays, to be able to help our offense, maintain possession on the ball, eat up some clock, and maintain a victory, those things are big to us.
And then finally, how difficult was it to defend Tyrod Taylor, who had been known for throwing the ball real well and, of course, running the ball so well with his feet?
Well, I tell you what, he's definitely a phenomenal player, and I tell you, Coach Spags, I spent a little bit of time with him in Baltimore. It definitely helped us out a lot. You know, he let us know about his capabilities, the things that he's good at, the things that he's not so good at. And now we were able to contain him today, and that was big for us.
Yeah, maybe the players got to buy Spags some dinner.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
J.T. Thomas, thanks for your time.
I appreciate it, big guy.
Okay, guys, let's go back to you.
All right, Paul, thank you very much. Paul Dottino with J.T. Thomas. 4 tackles today, 3 of them solo. But what do you say now we take a look at the standings in the NFC East? Things looking a whole lot better than they were just a few weeks ago. You got Dallas at 2-1. They're playing tonight in New Orleans against the Saints, followed by the now 2-2 Giants, along with Washington, 2-2 today. The Redskins winners over the Eagles. Philly now in last place in the NFC East at 1-3. So, boy, things have turned around, and very easily, you know, coulda, woulda, shoulda doesn't count, but very easily this Giants team could be 4-0, but they have played well.
Or at least 3-1. 3-1 right there in first place in the division.
No, yeah, you happen to be right, but you know what? Today was their best game of the season all the way around, and again, we've been talking off air about the defense. Look, both sides of the ball, lines did very well.
Yeah, it was a tough-fought battle on the road against a good team, a good defensive team that's played well this year. But, look, bottom line, winning breeds confidence. They've won 2 games. You're at the conclusion of the first quarter of the season. I think you've got the 49ers next week. And this is getting into the second quarter of the season. Yeah. This is the confidence. This is the meat of the season. They need to continue to play well, build on the successes, learn from things they don't do as well.
Every player on defense should get a game ball, because what they did to Carlos Williams, he came into the game averaging 7.8 yards per carry. They held him to 2.2. They shut down the run game, and they did it with Kerry Wynn and George Silvey starting at defensive ends. Those guys were backups when the season started. So kudos to them. They've got another big challenge against the 49ers and Carlos Hyde and Colin Kaepernick.
Yeah, I think that you look at the way the Giants are playing, you got to be happy. But this game probably meant the least because it's an AFC game, not an in-division or in-conference game. So it was a good game. It was a good way for them to gain some momentum like we were just talking about. But really, when they play the Niners, when they get in the rest of the part of their schedule, they're really going to have to try and keep this level of excellence.
All right. For Amani Toomer, Sean O'Hara, Roman Oben, I'm Russ Salzberg. We got close it up right now. Next game, Giants back at MetLife Stadium Sunday, 8:30 p.m., October 11th. They will take on the San Francisco 49ers in a nationally televised game. And then, as always, following each and every game this season, you'll want to flip right over to My9 for Giants Post Game Live. And that's where we expect to see you next week. Giants go in to that game with a record of 2-2. Could be tied for first place in the NFC East.